Welcome back to a freshly squeezed episode of the Floatscape Podcast. It is Stinchy here with Spencer, and we've got some terrible news. Mason has died.
I heard he quit.
Yeah, we don't know for sure. We're just gonna say he died. Either quit or he died. It's one of the two. It's not a good look. Either way, it's not a good look for Mason on either side of that. So Spencer, let's go ahead and catch up with you. What's been going on the last few days?
You know, it's cold, wet, rainy in the Pacific Northwest here, but the sun came out today, so it's kind of nice to remember what that looks like.
I have not played golf in a very long time.
I haven't played since Bandon. So, I mean, that's once since we went to Florida, so once in the past month and a half.
Yeah, I haven't played in a really long time, and I don't know when I'm going to be able to because I am still dealing with this concussion. Have you ever had, like, a legit concussion?
Yeah, I remember I got one when we played Arizona, and I remember, I think it was Kenny walked up to me in the airport, and he goes, "Are you even here?" And I was like, "I don't know."
Dude, it's really bad. Like, it's not fun. I have had a headache in, like, one part, or actually, it's since last Sunday, so for a week now, it has felt like, which apparently is not good. Apparently, I need to make a doctor's appointment at that point. It's felt like just a giant rubber band has been around my head, and that, like, one section in the back of my head behind my ear feels that, like, there's just, like, a giant, like, knot in it, and my neck and my back are so sore. But it's, like, all day, every day. Like, little movements just, like, send this, like, sharp pain down my entire spine. It sucks.
I bet you pinched a nerve.
Yeah, it fucking sucks. So shout out to the kid on Mercyhurst who decided he did not want to get beat and just finished his check on me from fucking behind. But yeah, so I haven't played golf for a long time. But I did go, speaking of that, that was a, I'll just discuss that. I played for the, concussion. I played for the Israeli select team, the Israeli Elite Hockey League select team. We're doing some, this is the first one I've played in, but the team is doing kind of like a North American tour over the next, you know, little while into next year, playing different colleges and universities. And so they've played Kent State, and then they played, we played Mercyhurst, because I played this time. We played Mercyhurst, the Club D1 team up in Erie. Before I get into that, getting to Erie, Pennsylvania is a fucking shit show.
I don't even know where that is.
It's Amish. So it's I don't know if it's an hour and a half south or north or east or west of Buffalo, but it's an hour and a half away from Buffalo. Also an hour and a half away.
Considering Pennsylvania is south of New York, I'm going to go.
Okay, south. So it's an hour and a half south, and then it's an hour and a half north of Cleveland. But so I fucked myself, and there wasn't really any good deals on flights, but I found a good deal on a one-way to Buffalo. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll just book this now, and I'll worry about my flight home later, and I'll just, like, if I have to pay a little extra to fly direct out of Erie, I'll do that. Because I was just assuming it's just a smaller airport. And like a week and a half before the fucking trip, I get told by somebody that Erie is not an actual international airport. It's a hub. It's an international airport hub. So it is only a connecting airport. The only flights that go out of Erie are to Charlotte, and it's only American Airlines. So
yeah, I could have told you that one.
Yeah, so by that time, I had to book another one-way back on Southwest from Buffalo, and I got absolutely bent over. Other than actually flying to Israel, this is the most expensive one-way flight I've ever fucking bought in my entire life. Got absolutely bent over by Southwest on that flight back. So, but to answer the question, getting to Erie, you either have to fly into Cleveland or into Buffalo and drive an hour and a half. Unless you live in Charlotte, then you can fly American Direct, but there's no flights. It's not flights every day. It's like a few a week, and that's it. So it's kind of a pain in the ass, but great campus, cool campus. I'd like to see it in the summer, or like the fall, when it's not covered in 6 feet of snow.
Yeah, it looks like a cool rink.
Yeah, super cool rink. I prefer rinks like that have character. Had it like smaller, only stands on one side, and then student section behind the net at the end. And then everything else, and it's just like a smaller, but it's super small, but like right in the middle of campus. So it's just like everything, everything. Like yeah. That. Everything's right. Everything's right there. You just walk into these doors and there's just the ice rink and it's just like, yeah, it's super cool. Lots of character. Not a bad team. Good team. We split with them. We won the first game. They won the second. After we won the first game, I think we probably went a little too hard and, we woke up the next morning and got told that those boys were not very happy with their performance. So we were like, all right, we're probably in one tonight. But you know, it is what it is. We won 4-2 and lost 6-3. So other than getting dummied from behind and getting an actual concussion, it was a good weekend, fun weekend with the boys.
Did you put the biscuit in the basket?
I did not. It was one of those games where, like, the minute everybody told me on the bench how good I was playing, I got killed from behind. So, like, I was buzzing. Yeah, like, I was buzzing and I was getting chances in my line. I was playing with two kids that played juniors in Canada. So I was just like, okay, here's puck on breakout. You guys, I'll be third guy high, guys. Don't worry. We were getting opportunities and we were playing really well. And the minute everybody on the bench was like, Stinch, you're playing like really well. And then somebody and myself were like, I don't think everybody realized how hurt I was in Israel. And the minute everybody and myself said that, this guy just fucking killed me. And then the next game, I probably shouldn't have played at all, but I was like, I fucking came all the way out here and you know, we're hockey players and we're idiots. So I played the first two periods and towards the end of the second, I started getting nauseous and I was like, I'm smarter than this. So I pulled myself, sat the third, but you know, it is what it is. So trying to get better from that. I was going to play golf, but I can't, it's just so, yeah, everything I'm is so, just so.
I really do think it sounds like you have a pinched nerve. So probably not smart to.
Yeah. It's fucked up. It's fucked up. But what seems to not be so fucked up anymore is the New York Islanders. So we'll jump into that.
That was the big transition.
Yeah. You like that? But that was the big kind of news this week was that they fired Lane Lambert kind of out of nowhere. Was it not?
I did not see this coming.
No one saw this coming. And then it was like they fired him and 5 minutes later it was like Patrick Wall is the new head coach. And it was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, no one, I didn't see anything on Instagram. I didn't see anything on TikTok. I didn't see anything from any of the other hockey podcasts that we listened to with some guys that have very good sources. I didn't hear about this at all. And then the video gets released of him at practice, just laying into the, not like laying into him in a bad way, but just like the intensity was like, yo, like I don't know
you figure it out. You guys play in the NHL. This is better.
Kind of like, I don't know what kind of fucking practices Lane was doing, but this is not how this is going to work with me. We're going to fucking work our ball bags off when we're out here. And that was kind of the, and then obviously they beat the Stars, that night. His first game, always bet when a team fires a head coach and hires a head coach immediately, always bet them that first game. Now in the case of Minnesota,
I just don't know how we didn't like hear more rumors of this because he has to be mid-season too.
I know,
so, like him leaving his team and then going to this team. I just don't understand how this stayed so far under the radar. But
yeah, it's crazy. We'll see. Do you think that this is kind of the piss and vinegar? Because everybody's always said that this team is like, oh, it's so boring. They're boring to watch. They don't do anything. They're so defensive. So is this the kind of piss and vinegar that they need to kind of get everybody off their back as far as critics?
If he changes the way from like, I mean, obviously he left Colorado on really weird terms. He quit like a month before training camp. So I think he's got something to prove a little bit, but I think he fits that organization's mold really well. So I think it could be the kick in the ass that they need. I honestly have no idea where they are in the standings, but I don't know. You know what I mean? So I don't know if this pushes them into the playoffs or not.
No, I don't think so. I got NHL.com pulled up. Let me look up where they are at the standings. I mean, where. So are they in, let's see. Okay. They're fourth in the Metro. So,
where does that put them in the wild card?
I mean, look.
So, I mean, they're not that far out of it.
They're They're the wild card right now is so the leaders in the Atlantic are Boston, Florida, Tampa, Metropolitan, or Rangers, Hurricanes, Flyers, and then the wild card goes 1 Maple Leafs, 2 Red Wings, 3 Islanders, 4 Penguins.
I do think they could pass the Red Wings. Would they?
They're 5 points behind.
I still don't know about Philly. So
they're 5 points behind the Wings. 5 points behind the Wings.
And that's doable to catch up after the All-Star break. So and
yeah, that makes sense.
A little injured and slumping a bit. So yeah, I could see them getting into the playoffs if this is the right kick in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, he. It seemed to be the kind of boost they needed for the, at least that, for those first couple games. We'll see how sustainable it is. We've got a bunch of Colorado buddies. What was his deal in Colorado? What was that? What was the whole reason? Why did that end so poorly? Was that just performance?
Just
the team performance?
I just think he wasn't into it. I think he, when he got into training camp, I think he just felt his heart wasn't there, and maybe it wasn't fair for all parties involved, and he just did what he thought was best and removed himself. It was just kind of strange.
Is he the kind of guy where he has to take over a roster that's pretty much done? Like other than maybe making some trades and adding a couple pieces and drafting a couple young guys. I don't see him as like the rebuild guy because he has so much intensity. Like I don't see him as a guy that comes into a team that's fucking been losing so much. Like I would feel like his message almost wears thin quicker. Whereas when he comes in that where a team already has the pieces, they just need an identity, like the intensity. Like it's a lot easier for him to get. I think maybe the team was just too bad in Colorado, and he's like, "Fuck, man, I can't. They're not. This isn't. They're not responding. This isn't going because they were really bad the year before he got there. Really, really bad."
Yeah, I just think it wasn't a good fit there, and I think it. Yeah, I think the players didn't fit his style, and it was just weird that he quit right before training camp. It feels like he probably should have known that at the end of the season before, but.
You know what I would like to fit? I would like a stadium series changeup. I don't want those to fit my body. I want them to fit somebody else's stupid. What did they do?
What are you talking about?
The stadium series tarps, the jerseys. I hate them. I was going to say I don't want them to fit, and I accidentally said fit at the beginning. I would never buy one of those. Even if one of those was my team, they're so fucking bad.
I don't hate them. I like the Devils jersey. I think it's nice. I think it's going to look really good, and I think the Rangers jersey is nice and classic. The Islanders jersey is stupid. Just as Isles.
They're all the only one that is like okay is New Jersey's because like black and red is kind of hard to fuck up, but the New York's just looks like I don't know. It's just it looks so. Everybody wanted to talk shit about the All-Star Weekend jerseys looking like little kids did them and like Crayola. These look like little fucking kids. The Isles jerseys look like a fucking kindergartner took two colors. His teacher was like, "You have four colors to choose from. You can only pick two." He picked blue and orange, and then they almost look like Oilers jerseys. They just say Isles on them.
A little bit, yeah. It's living where I live and kind of being in the circles that I'm in, I've heard that the Rangers are very picky. The original six teams all together, and you know Philly and New York being included in that, they're very picky on what they'll change in their jerseys, and they're kind of difficult to work with for that sense. So if they don't like going out of the box all that often, so that's why you kind of see those teams kind of stay a little
that's
more
shit
classic
fucking
into their
jerseys.
Group.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Fucking great job, original six. Detroit doesn't have that problem. Detroit's had some pretty good winter classic and stadium series.
They are.
I just think they're a big miss on that now.
Yeah, I do like the idea of having two games. You know, like it's kind of a cool event to have that in New York, have the two games back-to-back nights and the whole thing. I think it's good. This feels more like a winter classic than Seattle does because I'm sure it's going to be cold as shit. It's probably snowy. It just, it's got more of a hockey, you know, big time hockey feel to it.
Yeah, it does. It does. Now, here's where the concussion came into play. I got Stadium Series and All-Star Weekend back-to-back on my notes. I like the All-Star Weekend jerseys, and I would buy one of those to fit me. And then I got the concussion and the two things mixed up, and so that's where the mix-up came in between. But we'll go into All-Star Weekend leading off those Stadium Series shitty jerseys. I actually like these. And to everybody who said, like, they look like a little kid, or like that's kind of the point.
They didn't make those for like a 3-year-old man to go into the store and buy them.
They did not.
All-Star Weekend is about kids and growing the game.
Yes.
And seeing these primetime athletes.
Yes.
Do crazy things, and these kids going, oh, I want to do that. And so then they go buy their jersey. They're like, look at this cool jersey I get to wear to school now. I'm all for it. I like them. It took me a second, but I like the Doritos bags.
That being said, though, if you get two people in their 30s, like me and you, who happen to like them, that's just the plus side. But they're not made for us. They're made for fucking 15-year-old, 14-year-old, 13-year-old, and younger kids who are going to the – like, you know what I mean? Like, that's who they're made – yeah, that's who they're made for. And then a couple schmucks like us who end up liking them and want to buy them, that's just the plus side of it. They're not made for fucking Rick and Red Deer, who's 54, drinking fucking Labatt on his fucking couch sitting at home. Like, that's not who they're made for. They are made for 12-year-old Johnny playing for the Minnesota AAA team who gets to, you know what I mean? Like, that's the clientele. So anybody who's saying like, oh, they look like that's the fucking point. So back off on that point. Let's talk about All-Star Weekend. It's a little bit different. I got it pulled up here. So it's a draft. So on the 1st of February, it's going to be a draft. So there's celebrity captains, which it only says Justin Bieber.
I saw the four of them. So it's Justin Bieber, it's Tate McRae, it's Will Arnett, and it's Michael Bublé.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid line. I don't really know who Tate McRae is, but she's the musical guest, so
we couldn't get Ryan Reynolds. We had to throw that in.
Ryan Reynolds would have been huge.
Bieber, Reynolds, Bublé, and Arnett would have been awesome.
I think he would have. If it was in Ottawa, we would have maybe gotten a Ryan Reynolds, but I think maybe he's a little sour on the NHL right now because he's a hockey team.
Bublé is a huge Canucks fan. And Arnett's a huge Toronto fan because Arnett narrated that All or Nothing series a few years back, if you remember.
I think having him and having Justin Bieber involved in the game, we're going to get eyes on that game that have never watched hockey before. So I think it's pretty cool.
So it's Team Matthews, Team McDavid, Team Hughes, Jack Hughes, and his brother Quinn Hughes. They're both in it, and Team McKinnon. And then 12 players are going to be competing for $1 million. So 12 guys are getting to compete for $1 million in the skills competition. And those 12 players are JT Miller, Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Jack Hughes, Nate McKinnon, Kale McCarr, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Nikita Kucherov, and David Pastrnak.
You could just trade Bedard for JT Miller. And
I know.
Just the most epic lineup ever.
I know. So those guys are going to be competing for $1 million. And then all of the participants, I'm not going to name them all because there's quite a bit, but all of the participants that are going to make up those four teams with the captains listed before are going to compete in the traditional 3-on-3 format that was introduced in 2016.
Do you think every team should have a representative?
I don't know. No. And if your team's dog shit, like unless you have an absolute filthy player like Bedard on a shit team like the Blackhawks, no, fuck you. Like that's just fucking.
Yeah.
I mean, the Stars like look at it like this: the Stars are second in the Central, and they have one player, and it's a goalie. Because they've been playing more of a team, like they've been getting a lot of production from their depth this year, and it's taken a lot of pressure, like some of the trades like Sam Steele and Craig Smith, it's taken a lot of pressure off of guys like Jason Robertson and Rupe Hintz, and they're still scoring, but they're not having to feel like they're having to put up 50, 60, 70 goal seasons. So it's all you see what I'm saying? Like, it's a trade-off. Like
no, I totally get it. I don't think so, because especially – I think in today's day and age, especially younger fans, I don't see them being as much of a fan as a team as I do them seeing fans of players.
Yeah.
So I think having the top players in the game behooves the NHL way more than being like, okay, let's get, you know, a guy who plays for – I can't – Columbus – just because we need a player from Columbus.
I don't think we need – yeah.
Top players in the NHL.
I think there's other guys that are probably missing opportunities because of the stupid rule that are better and would be technically a better product for the All-Star game, because that's what it's supposed to be. But a team that does have a couple of representatives and that are absolutely jacked up on Phoenix Fit right now. This podcast is brought to you by Phoenix Fit, FNX Fit. Code FLOWSKATE gets you 15% off. But the Edmonton Oilers, I'll give you credit, Spencer. We'll see how the season plays out. You kind of called it. They're going into All-Star break with a 16-game winning streak.
Have you warned your barber that she's going to have to shave an oil drip in the side of your head yet?
Is that the bet? Was that the bet?
Yeah, that's what you told me you'd do.
I'll warn her.
You are so confident, I don't even have to do anything.
I'll warn her. I'll give her a heads up. I might as well just go ahead and do it.
In a wild card position. They're just in the playoffs.
I told you,
Connor McDavid did not miss the playoffs.
You shoved that one up my hoop.
Claw and get his way in there.
Yeah, you shoved that one up. But 16, they're absolutely jacked up on Phoenix Fit. They're taking the glutamine. They're taking the creatine. They're taking the pre-workout. They're taking the AM protein. They're taking the protein in the afternoon. They're taking the protein again at night. They're taking the krill oil. They're taking everything. They're taking it all. They are completely jacked up on it. They are pumping in code FLOWSKATE for 15% off. I'm sure their closets are just over, pantries are overflowing with Phoenix Fit stuff because they are just on a roll. So somebody needs to test.
However, they did make kind of a weird move.
With Corey Perry?
Yeah, I kind of found that strange just with all the controversy surrounding him to bring that into a locker room.
Can I
just absolutely buzzing?
Can I play devil's advocate on something?
Yeah.
Why are we acting like 2 months is like a big deal? Why are we praising a guy who did something that he had to publicly apologize for? After like he's been away from the game for like 6 weeks, and now all of a sudden he's like cured of like whatever.
That's
like
what
it
mean.
Just doesn't. Like, it's like very. It's very
I
weird.
I really get it, and like to bring that like you're on a 13 game win streak, and you bring all this news and attention into your locker room.
Yeah,
and negativity. It was just kind of like a huh.
I don't dislike him. I like Corey Perry. No,
absolutely. I think he's going to add some grit that they actually need. It just, I don't think they need the controversy right now.
And I believe in second chances. I believe in people are human and people fuck up and good people do bad things sometimes. And I believe in second chances, but here's my comparison is Jim Montgomery. He was away from the game for a year, like a whole year. And then he was he didn't just jump right back into a head. He like worked his way back as an assistant with the Blues for a couple years and then worked his way. That's like a story of like redemption of like, okay, a guy who really put in the work to get better as a human being. Whereas Corey Perry is like 6 weeks later, he signed with Edmonton Oilers and he's doing press conferences. Like, you know, I've gotten the help I needed. I've got it all figured out. It's like, what the fuck? It's just weird. It's just weird. I'm just going to play devil's advocate on that one.
About what happened. So I don't know. It's just kind of strange.
Did you hear more rumors?
Yeah.
You want to be the rumor boys? Let's go.
Yeah, we can. And I'll withhold judgment till you hear more details. But from what I heard, he got drunk at a team event and made a pass at an NBC employee.
Oh, okay. And then she threatened to say something, I'm sure.
And Chicago, with all the issues they've had, was absolutely zero tolerance and just said bye.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, it's not a good look. Not a good look.
So, I'll withhold judge. I just thought it was a weird person to bring into that locker room when that team seems to be like really gelling and coming together. Be like, hey, here's this drama, go run with it. But
yeah.
They need the grit for sure.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, it just wasn't the best look for him at the time. not necessarily the best look for the Oilers at the time. I think everybody's 50, from what I've heard, everybody's 50-50. A lot of people were like, fucking sign him. He's a great player, blah, 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 blah. A lot of people are like, well, like me, like 6 weeks, like, okay. Like, well, I don't
he
know
what
you should
have been out for the rest of the season.
I would think, but I mean,
that,
you know.
That's my opinion. If you're
whatever.
Gonna give Shane Pinto 41 games. And
that's crazy. Yeah, see.
Miss like 10.
That's another good comparison. Another good comparison. But somebody who does look good, in Victory Green and holding a silver stick is Matt Duchene. Congrats to Matt Duchene. Played his 1,000th game the other night. Yeah, stick taps for Matt Duchene. And the boys got the win for him. So I'm sure he had some money up on. I'm sure there was some money up on that board. So they ended up pulling it out in overtime, I believe.
I'm happy to see him kind of reinvigorate his
career. Buzzing.
I always liked him as a player. I think he had, for whatever reason, he had a tough time in Nashville. I think maybe a little too much time on Broadway, but.
This is similar to like when Biz called Colorado a Southern state. I don't consider Nashville to be a true Southern state. When you look at, But I think there's a point to be made about guys who go to Southern markets later in their career. Just seem like Corey Perry, he was great for Dallas for a couple years. It just seems like I think the weather and the like. But Nashville's cold. Nashville's almost north. I swear to God, when you look at a map, like Nashville is like Tennessee is south, but it's above. It's actually above like the true Southern states. And anytime you go to fucking Nashville, it's freezing in the winter. But I think there's something to be said about a guy who goes to a Southern market like Florida, like Tampa, like Dallas, even like Phoenix. Like we've seen like Jason Zucker's having a great time, like a great year in Phoenix. And I think there's just something to be said.
It's just less pressure, a different lifestyle than some of those bigger.
The sun is out more. You get to go outside more. There's no state sales. He's not getting fucking bent over on state sales tax. It's just a lot. It's just an easier process and an easier time to have when you're later in your career and you're really just focused on your mental and physical health and just being able to play an 82 game season. And the cold months are January and February. That's it. It's the only cold months. Like even December is your golfing December 20th, 5 days before Christmas. So,
nice.
Another guy kind of who is kind of yet to be seen what he's going to do. But Colorado signed Zach Parise, kind of out of nowhere. He hasn't played since last April. So it's going to be very interesting to see, how do you feel about this? Is he going to be able to keep up with today's game?
It'll be interesting to see if he's lost a step. I think Colorado is quickly realizing the Johansson experiment is just not taking. And so they got a very similar player in Zach Parise. And yeah, it's hard to say. I don't think this is the move they needed, though.
Is the Johansson experience, is that experiment, is that really not working for them? I haven't really been keeping too close of a.
He just hasn't really fit into the lineup. He doesn't look like the player that he was starting to look like in Nashville and just needed a new lease on life. It doesn't feel like he got that in Colorado. So I don't know, but I mean, they were seeing Landy back on the ice in full gear. So I think he will be in the playoffs. They don't need him to make the playoffs. I still think they need a little bit more scoring power than Parise is going to provide for him.
Johansson is top 10 on the team in scoring, but this is the problem with that is he's got 18 points, 11 goals, and 7 assists. I feel like you signed him to give you a little bit more production than that.
You signed him to be at least a 40-point guy, 50-point guy.
And two guys, Ross Colton and Logan O'Connor, are 6 and 8 points ahead of him. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a couple guys where you're like, those guys should be more 18 points. Yeah.
He's not there.
And the other thing is when you look at the guy in 10th is Josh Manson is 1 point behind Ryan Johansson. So it's like Ryan Johansson, Josh Manson, 1 point behind. That doesn't really add up. That's a good call on that one. I think that Parise signing, now that you say that they're not getting that production from the center in Johansson that they want, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, We saw it coming, though. Speaking of making sense on things, we saw it coming with Hockey Canada already did it. USA Hockey announced today You texted me. I saw it. I just didn't text you about it. But USA Hockey announced that starting August 1st, 2024, every youth player will be required to wear a neck guard, whether that's a built into your Under Armour shirt or your Gitch, or that's whether it's a standalone neck guard. But every player, 18U down to 10U, if you're registered in USA Hockey, I think even like 8U house leagues is technically still USA Hockey, including how does this work for high school hockey? Is high school hockey USA Hockey sanctioned?
I think it depends on the leagues.
It depends on the state and the league. Yeah. Okay.
I would imagine they follow suit of USA Hockey and a lot of those kind of rules and regulations. So I would assume we'll see it in high school hockey as well.
I mean, yeah, but so it's mandatory. So every youth player, if you have a youth player or you coach youth players, they will be required to wear neck guards. But yeah, I mean, we saw that coming. I think we saw that coming.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. And it's something I've considered, I've thought about. The one kind of issue I do have with this, and I get it, it's a very new issue. There's just not a lot of options right now and not a lot, like, if I wanted to order, say, you know, the War Road one.
The only one I would wear is that one.
It's like May or June to get it. So I'm like, I get it. Like, that's probably why they had to post-date this for next season, because you just can't get them right now.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a smart move. I do think it needs to happen. I think especially kind of the turtleneck options, not like the weird kind of chunky ones that probably.
The only one I would wear is the War Road one, just because it's like it's. Looks like it's actually comfortable.
Yeah,
I have a buddy who's been wearing a Bauer one. He said he got used to it right away. It kind of just looks. I keep calling him Thomas Plekanec. Every time we skate, I keep chirping him because he looks like Thomas Plekanec.
Remember, like, you know, the guys that wore the turtlenecks, the guys that wore them growing up. It's just okay. Now it's just going to be normal, and I understand it. It was probably a wise move on all parts.
Can I play devil's advocate again?
It might be a little late, but
can I play devil's advocate again?
Sure.
I don't want to say it, but he didn't have to kick him. I mean, I've played a lot of hockey.
That wasn't a hockey play.
I've had time to think about it. And here's the other thing. I've played a lot of hockey since then. And not men's league. I've played a lot of full contact hockey since then in leagues that are technically way less regulated, and where there's guys that are literally only playing because they can fight still. That's the point. Like, that's the point of it for some of these guys, and that shit doesn't even happen. So it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, damn, man. Like,
it sucks that a very non-hockey play kind of caused this occurrence of the correct events to take place of, say, hockey mandating this.
Yeah, but, I'm just going to say
That's all we'll say on that.
Yeah, that's all. We do want to talk about this. So, we talked about it like episode 3 a while ago on the podcast. I have a buddy who was coaching juniors in Utah. I won't say the team. I won't say where. But he kept claiming to me that he has very good sources that are very, very legit that Utah, that Salt Lake City is going to get an NHL expansion team. And I called bullshit. I told him he's a lunatic. I told him I thought the idea was lunacy. I just don't see it. I mean, I know they have the ECHL team, the Grizzlies. They've had them for a very, very long time. I know they're a very successful minor league team, but it was never a city really talked about. Kansas City was a city talked about at some point.
Yeah, exactly. It just wasn't on the radar. Salt, like, you heard this list of cities and it was never Salt Lake.
Yeah, Salt Lake City was never on the radar.
I was like, why aren't we talking about Salt Lake?
So I have to give him credit, and I'm not going to name him names. I'm not going to give his name out because people would be able to connect dots on team. It's just not cool. So, but it is very, very, it's a very, very realistic option for the NHL to not even expand, but to move the Coyotes to Salt Lake City. Because here's the thing. all of the, like, I know it's the last thing that they want to do. And Gary Bettman still says, like, you know, Phoenix is the market. It's the market. It's the market. Well, the bottom line is if you can't get the deals to build the land and you can't get the land approved by the cities that you want to build them in, you can't have a team. They cannot play in Mullet for four or five seasons. It's not sustainable. That being said, multiple people, including Bill Daly, have said, even if the team stays in Phoenix, we are still very interested in expanding this league because of the success that Seattle and Vegas have had and the revenue and the money it's generating. And apparently Salt Lake City is going to be the place, whether it's moving the Coyotes to Salt Lake City or whether it's giving Salt Lake City an expansion team and having another expansion draft. That is the word on the street. So he shoved that one right up my hoop, because it's not even like from what I know, Spencer, this is like legit. Like, it's going to be, if there was another city to get an NHL hockey team, it's going to be Salt Lake City.
Yeah. So for our 10 listeners that, you know, didn't read it or see it this week, that I think it's the Utah Jazz owner did formally submit an application for expansion to the NHL. So yeah, if there's going to be another team, it's going to be in Salt Lake City. And I think this is an absolute no-brainer to bring the Utah Yeti into the NHL.
The Utah Yeti would be kind of be the Salt Lake City Yeti would kind of be fun.
Yeah. Like, I think it's, I like the, you know, follow the Kraken of the mythical animal Pacific Northwest mountainous thing.
Yeah.
Call them a Yeti or the Sasquatch or something cool. But I think Salt Lake City is an absolute no-brainer, especially because they're also submitting to host the Olympics again. So they've said they'll build a brand new facility for the Olympics that's going to be basketball and hockey, but hockey-oriented.
Yeah.
So I think for the NHL, we've seen how it's gone in Vegas. We've seen how it's gone in Seattle. I think they would rather, at this point, maybe do a two-team expansion because we're at an even number.
Yeah.
So there might have to be another city involved in the Eastern Conference to make this work. But I think it's a no-brainer.
I think basketball, what league has an uneven? It works fine.
It works fine, but I think just from a you know, playoff standpoint, if you want to expand it a little bit, it just makes more sense to have even numbers on each side.
But so many like name, like the Blizzard, the Yeti, the Sasquatch, the Lumberjack, you know what I mean? Like, so many just like cool name opportunities that
I think there's a huge opportunity there and a huge gap in the market. We've seen that hockey can go there. I'd like to see the NHL get in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's pretty much set in stone. That's going to be Salt Lake City. I'm fucking excited because after this, I have nothing. So coaching is almost done. I got one tournament next weekend and then two more games the next weekend, and then I'm done. But today I actually like get to like exit the podcast, edit it while I just sit and watch football. And I have not been able to like watch. The other night I watched like a hockey game live, like start to almost finish it for the first time in forever. It's because it's just, I'm just so busy with coaching and shit. It's hard. And it, like, you know, I know we make a lot of money on this podcast, but damn, like
Speaking of watching a hockey game, this is completely off our radar, but last night I watched the BCBU game, number one and number two in the country.
Yeah. How was that?
God damn, was that game fast.
Boy, those boys. What was that? I mean, I didn't even know that was on. What was that on? ESPN Plus?
Yeah,
ESPN little Plus reaction?
Home and home. So they played at BC Friday night. BC took the win, and then they went to BU last night, and BC swept the weekend. BU being number one. So now BC's
probably number one. Yeah.
They're going to be number one in the country, but yeah.
Who does, like, is that who, like, Gauthier plays for and is BC?
There was, like, 20, I think they said 20 draft picks in the game. It was,
that's nuts.
It was unbelievable. Like, it was so fast. They're so creative. The game is just, the future of hockey is just so, like, the what's it, limitless? It's awesome. Yeah. I love it. It's great to see, but yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of doing the same thing. I've got a men's league game tonight, but until then, I'm sitting and watching football.
Do you got Ravens or Chiefs? I want the Ravens. I like Lamar, man. I like Lamar.
I want the Ravens. I'm tired of the whole Kansas City saga.
Yeah.
I just don't want that in the Super Bowl.
They'll be back. They've got a dynasty. Patrick Mahomes is. Yeah, I like Lamar.
Baltimore.
No.
I want to see Lamar run around. I want it all.
I hope San Francisco gets bent over.
No, I do like the idea of Eminem being at the Super Bowl if Detroit goes, but
I
have to stay true to my California roots and say
I hope in terms of nerdy blonde white guys, Jared Goff just bends over Brock Purdy. Yeah, I hope it's Ravens Lions Super. That'd be such a fun Super Bowl. Ravens Lions out of nowhere. Come on.
Nope.
But anyways,
nope. Go Niners.
All right. Well, that's all we got. That's the Postgate podcast. Yeah, coming at you hot. Code Fliscate gets you 50% off Phoenix Fit. And yeah, shout out to Mercyhurst for having the Israeli boys out there. It was a good time. Spencer, you got anything else?
Mason, we're looking for you.
He's dead. he's dead. He's an alligator got him. So that's it. That's the Fliscate podcast. We'll catch you later.
Peace.